like the final.
Oh, great. Thank you.
The gold color plates, that's
for advertising free will offerings. The silver plate is our flower fund, that's why we got the two color plates there. So keep that in mind for our fourth, first and last verse. Representative, pray for open course, please.
Lord, let's thank you, heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this day. Lord, we thank you for loving us and saving us. Lord, to be back in your house. Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, you have your hand upon the remaining part of the service, Lord. Pray and ask, Lord, you have your hand upon this offering, Lord, for those who give, those that have not given. Pray and ask, Lord, you move and be amongst us, here with us, Lord, today. We ask all these things in thy holy heavenly name. Amen.
Just continue to remember us, if you would. sickness has made its way through us. Jubilee's on antibiotics for tonsillitis. Hannah probably has tonsillitis, and that Hannah's going to try to stay up for when she's had a fever on Austin's yesterday, so obviously she hasn't been helping, because that always happens over the weekend, at least in our family, that's how that works. But, you know, we're going to come for preaching, especially since I had to miss it last Sunday morning. You know, I still haven't got to go back and listen to your message on last Sunday morning. I got to do that, because it's gonna, otherwise, you know, probably going to be gaps, you know. And what you're preaching for me, but anyway, I do just remember her in prayer, and so don't be offended. Like, she's going to try to stay away from everybody, you know, so she don't make anybody sick, so she don't come up and hug you or love on you or whatever. Don't be offended, that is the reason why. Appreciate everybody continuing to remember me too. Starting to get things straightened out as far as my appointments. Lord worked it out. My neurology appointment is actually going to be much sooner than possible. I mean, unless something changes, it'll be Monday following resurrection. So pray for me on that. Still don't have an appointment lined up for the MRI, but we would have a place nailed down. And it seems to be the place that everybody has recommended anyway. Lots of people have good experiences with this place. So, appreciate the Lord working with us on that. Just continue to pray for me. You know, I'm still in and out of being a little fuzzy brain. You know, just a minute ago, I was like, what's next? Did we take up the offering already? It's kind of, it comes and goes. You know, sometimes I can be, I'm just fine, and then other times it kind of hits me. So, I'll just continue to remember me on that. So, if I have one stage, you know what it's about. But we still got several others. Brother Robert's not able to be here this morning. I'm guessing he's feeling bad this morning. Okay, so remember him. Also remember the special request they have. Lord knows what that is. Continue to remember Emma. She's figured out how to deal with her celiac there. How is Krista? Is she okay? Like, what? Okay. Oh, so like her car is not like total or anything. Oh, it is, but okay. So pray the Lord would provide for that need. I mean, you always could. I mean, we know how it is. We try to be wise. We try to keep in mind, you know, the potential of an unexpected need for something, but I don't know if you ever really prepared to just go out tomorrow or whatever. So, and I know she'll have to do something in the interim, so just pray the Lord works all that out. Did Beth have to work this morning?
Yes. Tonight.
Oh, okay. I knew.
And actually, praise the Lord, he'd already worked all that out. He'd already had a car ready for us before. We even knew about Beth had already finished that day before she had her accident that afternoon.
And, oh, amen.
And we got home, we talked to guys, and I said, yeah, we're going to get picked up, but it's going to be about tomorrow.
Amen. Thank you.
The guy was actually looking for Beth, of course, because, you know, hers was in an accident several months ago, somebody else or whatever. They were actually looking for the best car, and they told her they had it ready, so we picked it up the next day.
So she'll just continue to drive around for a little while and then the door.
Yeah.
I mean, there's worse things. You have to hit her bumper sticker, like I've seen some people have honk if parts fall off. Now, I know that's mainly just an annoyance she was talking about the other day, so. We appreciate the Lord watching out for that, too. I tell you what, he's always, you know, you want to say two or three steps ahead of us, but really, he's all the way to the end ahead of us.
Yeah.
It's the real reality of it.
He's already established.
Yeah, he has established the end from the beginning, the Bible says. And I heard, you know, again, I don't want to take a bunch of time, but just talking about the sovereignty of God. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said it this way. He's like, do you realize that if a man is in dire need and he's praying for the weather to be a certain thing, and God brings that about, what that probably means is that back at the beginning when God created the heaven and the earth, he set the weather patterns in order in such a way that thousands of years later when that man was going to pray that request, probably that was already prepared from the beginning. So of course God can miraculously change things at the last minute. We realize that we see him do that, but it's just as likely that he already had that plan from the beginning, knowing what that man was going to pray, and had it in order over thousands of years of weather patterns, because he's God.
Amen.
That's absolutely no hindrance for him to be able to do something like that. And so like the preacher's been preaching, we don't have anything to be afraid or nervous about when it comes to seeing the end of this age and the end of the earth as it is.
Right.
Because it's all happening exactly the way God intended for it to happen.
Amen.
Sometimes we'll be guilty too. We'll worry about, we'll think, well, I'm all right. You know, I'm an adult. I'm not so worried about me. But, you know, we think about our kids. But we have to remember, did God not know what time period our kids would be born in?
Yeah.
Did that take him by surprise? He's not like, oh man, Solace and Hannah and Jubilee and Hemp, they got born in, you know, the early 2000s, and now they're going to have all this stuff. Man, God knew that. He planned when they were going to be born. He knows. So we can trust him for all these things, because he's already got it all lined up and figured out. Do remember, youth choir practice tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget that. Oh, and I know we've already said prayer requests, but I told you, we'll scout break this morning. We'll do birthdays in a second. But I didn't want to forget to mention that. 6 o'clock, youth choir practice. So everybody be sure and be here for that. And remember our youth revival this week, beginning Wednesday night. Preacher Curtis Ponder. So be much in prayer for that. The Lord would move and work in that. That he would prepare each of us to receive what he wants to do. That we would be willing. He would help us by his Holy Spirit to be willing to let him make a change in us. Because the fact of the matter is, if we want to be further along with the Lord than what we are, well, that's going to require change, isn't it? That's what that is. And we need his help to be even willing to be changed. So pray for that. But before we continue prayer requests, let's not forget who had a birthday or an anniversary this past week. Oh, yeah. Interesting.
We're
just talking about
Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Like, I know Wednesday. Yeah, I learned that out too many years ago. Once you get to a certain age, it stops being exciting. And you're more worried about remembering your kids' birthdays than your wife's birthday.
Yeah.
Right, let's sing happy birthday to our pastor.
Happy birthday to you. Just one little night to make Jesus your Savior.
Okay, good. Continue to do that.
Also, I didn't
Okay.
The one who deserves.
Okay, no, I did not mention that, so, okay. So, I don't know if everybody heard that, probably did, but for, because you know, on Saturday, always we have a cookout after the service that morning, so there's a sign-up sheet for all the side stuff. I think the church, is the church providing the meat, is that right?
Yeah, they're working the bones, meat, and...
Drinks.
Yeah.
Okay, so think of everything else, like Michelle said, slaw and chili and, I don't know, whatever, yeah, relish, chips.
Beans.
Desserts.
Fries.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. Some beans.
Desserts. Cookies.
Definitely desserts.
And you, and the plumbers, we already packed, you're not gonna have to have your plumbers.
Oh, as far as like ketchup and mustard and mayonnaise and stuff, we have all that? Okay, good. Good, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that kind of obviously gets you into that part of it.
Yeah, well, I put you on the list, and whatever you did. I put it on the list.
Just get it with the meat and the buns.
Okay, so nobody buy cheese in churches, you're gonna get the cheese. Unless you want cheese for you. That's up to you. Sorry, no, they don't care whether anybody buys cheese or not. Any other prayer requests you want to make mention of this morning? All they mentioned Wednesday night, the baby that they had been requesting prayer for, baby Huntley, she did go on to be with the Lord, so do remember that family. I don't know, of course, I'm not real familiar with the situation. Have services already been held?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday? Okay, so remember that. And I remember my dad, too. He is supposed to be helping in a funeral this evening. It's not somebody I know, it's somebody that was one of his customers. So I don't know who it was, but a preacher had for this church, I believe, is going to be filling in for him this evening. So I remember preacher had, and remember that funeral there. Also remember, I don't know how the districts line up, but in the North Carolina, I want to say House, I believe it's House, my representative is Neil Jackson, and he sent to me this week several bills that he is either co-sponsored or is involved with, some of which, as far as I can tell by looking at it, is really, really good stuff, including trying to get some legislation in place to, at the state level, get some of the smut out of the libraries that's in there, and, I mean, put some teeth on it. Not just make a law, but make it to where there are consequences for school districts that are not doing what they're supposed to do when either parents or residents of the county are, you know, objecting to these things and it's not being taken care of, then the law can step in and impose consequences. So just pray that God would have his will and way in that. And of course, I'm not a lawyer. I read this stuff and I'm like, well, it sounds good, but sometimes you worry about it can be abused in the other direction. So just pray that God would give guidance. That's the best thing for us to do. Pray that God would give guidance. If you know somebody that's a lawyer, you know, be like, hey, can you read this? Maybe we need to suggest some amendments or whatever. But just pray that God would work in this case. It is absolutely all God's will for us to have. We see that in the scripture. That is his intention. He gave us examples of what God would look like and how they should be made. So remember that.
Wisconsin, to be able to commit something to people out of state, hear the truth, God, and know it. Lord, if you speak, we hear your voice, God, because we're not going to be, you can help us, God, who's here today. That you say, Lord, and have mercy upon the problem with it. It's your service, Lord, and share it with my friends. Help us, God, to be in the vision in every fashion. And Lord, I pray that you've been Lord, God. Help us, we're all here, and we're all strong. Lord, transform us into that which you have us to be. For your honor.
Morning.
Morning.
It's good to be in the Lord's house today. Lord allows us to come out and be together again. The end of this month, when we have our foundation study, I've asked Pastor Clint Ewan to come and to help us out with the foundation study. And I told him a while back about to come up with a question. The question that he came up with, he wants to go over with everybody is, what is the purpose of baptism? I think it's a great question.
Yes.
You know, something that a lot of times just seems like something we take for granted that we don't ever, you know, really talk about or ask about. And, you know, I've had several people ask me about that over the years. And but I think it'd be a good opportunity to come and learn, especially for a lot of us that, you know, have studied that before, forgot about it, or wondered about it and never knew. It'd be a good time to come and learn and just grow and give you a good opportunity to read up on that. So be here the last Sunday of the month. I guess that'd be the 27th?
27th.
Yeah.
It'd be the 27th at 5 o'clock, so be here for that. I hope all of you that's able to this week will make it out for the youth rally. We call it a youth rally, but it is a meeting that is for everyone.
Hey.
The Word of God's good for all ages.
Yeah.
And I know Rich Curtis Palmer is looking forward to being with us. I'm looking forward to see what God's got in store for us. And I hope that you'll be able to make it out with us. We'll have services this week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday at 10 a.m. afterwards, we're going to eat. Because we're Baptist, and that's what we do. And they'll have fun and games and stuff, you know. And we'll go over there and we'll have a good time. And I'm sure Karen, knowing her, she'll have some surprises thrown in there that, you know, people ain't expecting yet either. So come out and join us. It'll be a good time. And
hey,
we'll worship together. And, you know, if you... You say, well, you preacher, you know, I don't know. I know this stuff. You know, I've had people, and I've known people that says, you know, well, you shouldn't try to entice people to come in with fun and games, this, that, the other. You know, that's not what I'm doing.
Right.
We're just making a space.
Yeah.
That these young people can come and they can worship.
Yeah.
And that they can have fun. Yeah. They don't got to deal with all the junk that's out there in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I feel sorry for young folks nowadays.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, we had lots of things to do.
Yeah.
Young folks nowadays ain't got nothing to do. Play video games.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, they ain't places like skating rinks where they're on every corner where people can go to. They ain't places where, you know, the young men's all got coon hounds and you get together every weekend and go coon hunting and everybody's got four-wheelers and dirt bikes and everybody you live around lets you ride on their land and you run here and you run there and you can ride to and fro and everywhere. I mean, we could go up and down the road 12 years old all the time. You know, we just had something that we stayed busy.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for these young folks nowadays. You know, they just ain't got nothing going on. The only time they get to socialize a lot of times is whenever they get to be, you know, of driving age. And then, you know, they get invited to some friend's house where they're probably going to be drinking and doing other things and, you know, just up to no good. And so, like I said, I think it's a good thing to be able to do that. And besides that point, Jesus not only gave the Word of God to folks, but he ministered to every need that they had.
Yeah.
And that's what we're called to do as a church, is to be able to minister to those needs as we can. And, you know, the first miracle Jesus ever done was he provided the wine for a wedding banquet. He said that he was going to be there to make sure that they was able to have what they needed and they was having a party, they was having a good time, and it wasn't sinful, it wasn't anything sinful, it wasn't a bunch of drunkenness or anything like that.
Right.
It was just folks getting together for a celebration.
Yeah.
And Jesus was there, and he was able to help out, so that's what he done.
Yeah.
And that's what we should also do. But looking forward to being with y'all this week, looking forward to revival meeting. And, you know, if you're not coming expecting revival, you won't get none.
Yeah.
You realize that?
Yeah.
If you come in, you expecting it, you want it, then you can have that.
Amen.
God will not withhold that from you. That is the blessedness of our Lord. And you say, well, I don't deserve it. I don't either. None of us do.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
But God is gracious and good. Yeah. And if you come and you want to see what God's got in store for you, and come expecting, then God will give you. He'll help you, and He'll bless you, and He'll Amen. Pour His Spirit out upon you and bless you this week with His Word. All right. There's something else. What else was it? Somebody help me out here.
Sunrise.
Yes, sunrise service, 7 o'clock
yeah.
next Sunday morning. Thank you. I know that's forgetting something. Yeah, we'll have our sunrise service next Sunday morning at 7 o'clock. Y'all be praying. I've asked Preacher Jared Payne to come preach for us.
Amen.
And y'all be praying for him. He's going to come preach for us. I called him the other day. I said, Preacher, because he's a plumber. So I asked him, I said, are you able to get up early? He said, yeah. And I was asking, I said, I was going to see if I could get you to come preach for us. He's excited, though. He said he's excited about getting to come join us.
Yeah.
We prayed for him. But yeah, we'll have sunrise service, and we'll be here at 7. We'll have service, and then we'll go. And I think that is it. Oh, soon we're going to be having camp meeting coming up.
Yeah.
Be praying about that.
Yeah.
And then after that, right after that, you know, we'll be going to camp
yeah.
with our youth, for the youth camp. And so I need to make it today. Honey, where you at? Oh. Maybe today you could get somebody to help you. Maybe give me a sheet up back there. You want to do that? Thank you. That's my greatest assistant right there.
Hey.
But I appreciate her. But we'll get a sheet up back there, and people can go ahead and start signing up for that, for youth camp. And if you've been, then I hope you want to go back, and I'm sure that you do, and make it happen. Just make it happen. You know, if you got to change jobs or whatever, you know, I know some of y'all started jobs and everything else, just make it happen. It'd be worth it. You'd be glad. Some of you moms and dads that haven't been, have been thinking about it. If you can, make it happen. I'm telling you, you won't be sorry. You will be glad you went. It is a blessing. We always have such a great time. And we have a lot of fun, but man alive, do we really have a great time worshiping more than anything. For those of you that haven't been, you can ask these young folks. Ask anybody that's been, they'll tell you, it is a great time worshiping. And I'm looking forward to that. So if you haven't been, come with us, and you'll see what it's about. You'll have a good time, you'll enjoy it, you'll be able to worship, and we'll all have fun together. All right. Ask Brother Tony and Brother Charles, Miss Jerry, y'all want to sing for us? Brenda? Oh, okay. Amen. I appreciate the. Oh, yeah, I need to mention, too, all of our singers, y'all need to get with Karen or Sherry or probably somebody, Matthew, somebody this week, whoever y'all going to do that. Usually I'd say Vivian, but she's been in MIA because Preacher Billy's been part of stuff. But usually she coordinates all this. But for those of you that's going to sing and stuff this week, I'm going to tell you how she normally does it. Vivian, she normally coordinates with whoever and does whatever and gets it all lined up, and she gives me a piece of paper. And then I know who's singing what night. So one of y'all needs to give me that piece of paper by Wednesday night, okay? That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
y'all pray for us. We practice this one Tuesday night. Been about a year or so since we popped up here since we'd signed it. There's a good message in this song. Thank you.
Been preaching on this tribulation period is where we're at in our study of end times prophecy. Concerning this tribulation period, we're talking about the first 3.5 years of this tribulation period. And during this first 3.5 years of this tribulation period, we talked about how that we know that the tribulation period is a 7-year period.
Hey.
So it's split into 2 different halves, the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. Namely, the first 3.5 years is where the Antichrist will be in absolute control and power, and there will be a false peace amongst the world, those that follow Christ, that will not take the mark that he deems them to take. We know that mark to be 666, what the Bible says, whether it be their head or their right arm. It says that they will be persecuted, they will be killed, they will not be able to buy, sell, or trade during that time. And at the middle point of that, we know that things are going to take a shift. And we haven't got into this much yet, but during that second 3.5 years is whenever God really begins to pour out his own wrath in ways that man could not do upon the earth. And as he's doing that, he takes Israel, and they are hidden, they're protected during that time.
Amen.
And at the end of that, we see that great battle of Armageddon begin to happen. The armies form around Israel, and they encompass the city to come in and to seize them. And that is when the Lord Jesus comes back himself, and he comes to defend Israel. But what we're still looking at today is that first 3.5 years. Now, what we talked about thus far is we went over these first 4 seals of this book that is open that has 7 seals.
Yeah.
We talked about how that there was none that was worthy to take the book, that this book was something that obviously God, the creator of everything and anything that you could imagine, whose ground is made of gold and silver, whose walls are of fine jewels. He's saying, you know, do it. I believe he made it that way just to say, this is what I think of these things.
Yes.
But what he values, what he keeps in his possession, what is there that is gleaming for him to show off before everybody in his presence at the throne is this book. And there was one that was found that was worthy to open the book, and that was the Lamb, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
As he's beginning to open these seals, we see this tribulation period unfolding. We've seen this Antichrist come into power and his rise to power and the authority that is given him. The power that he gets, he receives from the dragon, which is the devil, that old serpent, the Bible says.
Yeah.
And the authority that is given him, absolutely, there is no authority given except God gives it. That's what Jesus told Pilate, even whenever they were going to crucify him. And so we understand that God is sovereign. But as we're looking at this morning, we went over Sunday, those our first 3 seals, and then Wednesday night we talked about that 4th seal, and we talked about its relation to the prophecy in Ezekiel chapter number 14. And tonight we want to look at this 5th seal. I'm sorry, this morning we want to look at this 5th seal, and this is what we want to look at this morning. Is not so much what the Antichrist and this beast is doing, but we want to look at the redeemed of the tribulation. We want to look at the redeemed of the tribulation, beginning here in this 5th seal in chapter 6. But before we read that, let me just go fast forward a little bit, because first I want to talk about these others, because the Bible says they are the first fruits. In chapter 7 of Revelation, before we can go into that 6th seal, we're going to talk about this, the redeemed of the tribulation. Then I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 7. And after these things, I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, there were 12 tribes, and it will name all 12 tribes here. But we're going to go down and read verse 9. And it says, if you want to go back and you can read, just say that there was 12,000 of each tribe. But in verse 9 it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and saying to me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes and with white robes and whence came thee? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Father, we pray, God, today for a blessing of the reading of your word, even this morning, Lord, and that you be glorified. Lord, I pray that you be glorified in the message, and may the name of your son, Jesus, be exalted. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. Okay, now like I said, we're going to go back to chapter 6 in just a moment, but first of all, I want to look at the redeeming of the tribulation. Now this is taking place during this first 3.5 years. We see these four angels that are prepared to unleash. Now that we talked about that angel of the bottomless pit, we've talked about the beast that comes up out of the sea, we've talked about the beast that comes up out of the earth, we've read all that. We were talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet that would come with him and that would help and establish him. And we talked about how that all these things are demonic and are types of the Antichrist, those first four horsemen that we see in those first four seals. Although God is the one that unleashes those things, right, those are types of the Antichrist. But whenever we look here and we see these four angels, now these are not representations of any kind of demonic spirit. These are ones that God has sent, that he is prepared to unleash his wrath on earth. And then there's one that comes down that says, whoa, hold on just a minute. Before we do this, he said, we've got another job. We've got to take these 144,000 and we've got to make sure that it's sealed in their foreheads to know who they are. Now, we understand that these were more than likely the ones that are called to preach the gospel during this time of tribulation.
Yes.
They will preach, and it's because that they were Jews. Understand? Because they are of the 12 tribes, of the 12 fathers of the Jews. They are of the sons of Israel. They are the sons of Jacob. Those were the 12 tribes. And from each tribe was called 12,000 men, is what the Bible says. Now, how do you know that they're men? Because if we go to Revelation chapter 14, we see that it's talking once again about these that are there. And it says here, and it says, and I looked in verse 14 of Revelation, and verse 1 of Revelation 14, I'm sorry. It says, and I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, going back to where we were at, we understand that it says that they were never with women, and it names specifically being that they were never smoke, this was most likely men. We could imagine that it might could be young men, it could be older men of any age, but they would know that they were Jews, right?
Yeah.
And so they were practicing Judaism. That's how come that they are still here on the earth.
Right.
The church is gone, the church has been raptured, and the Antichrist has come into power. And he's caused everyone, because of that, when we see that third horseman, that one that brings about the famines, the one that brings about the reason for having the hyperinflation,
yeah,
and the cost of living. And so he's able to institute that mark, that anyone who would not have that mark of that beast, would not be able to buy, sell, or to trade. And because of that, we see here that there is these who have denied that. They have not taken that mark, but yet they've taken another mark. They've had it sealed in their foreheads with the mark of God. It says that his name was what was written there. They said that they had the seal of our God. And then in verse 14, we read that is the name of our Lord that is written in their foreheads. And it says that these men, there is no guile in their mouth. What are they doing there? They are called there to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
The Bible says that they are the first fruits. How is the gospel spread to the rest of the world during this time, whenever the church is gone, the church has been raptured, and now the Antichrist is here, he's in power, but we see that there are people that are being slain. We see that there are Christians that are being killed, that there are souls that are crying out to God. We're going to read that in just a moment.
Yeah.
And so how is it that they hear and know the gospel? It's because God has called these men for this purpose, to go out and to preach the gospel. They're not called to prophesy, but to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
To give the gospel, the good news that Jesus is still on the throne, that Jesus is still the one that died for them, that they can be born again, that the only way to be spared eternal judgment and hellfire and condemnation is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the precious Son of God, the Lamb that is in heaven before the throne of God, even right now, today, and then in that time will he be there, and he'll be advocating for sinners like you and me. And if we just believe and put our faith and trust in him, that we can be spared that eternal condemnation. Now, we could imagine that during this time, that it would be a very difficult time to be a Christian. Now, I will say this, that God, let me tell you this, he's no respecter of persons, amen? And we can see evidence of that in this text that we're reading here. The Bible says that these are with God day and night. We just read that in chapter 14, how that they considered the first fruits of him through that tribulation period. They've got a special role in heaven. They get to learn a song that no one else gets to learn.
Yeah.
And yet, all this time down here, they weren't following God. If the Lord Jesus come back tomorrow, this would be men that today, as I'm preaching this, are not following God.
Right.
They are not living for God.
Right.
They are not trusting in Jesus Christ. But yet, they will during that time.
Yeah.
God is no respecter of persons. He does what he wills within the heart and mind of the man that he wills to do it in.
Yeah.
Amen. And so whenever God saved me, whenever God called me to preach, it wasn't because I was qualified. It wasn't because that I was fit for the job. On the contrary, I was the least likely. But it is because of this that God chose in his own way to use something that was so weak and so foolish, and to take and use it for his own glory. And I want to say this to all of us this morning. If you allow it, God will use you in great ways more than you think that God would.
Yeah.
He absolutely will. He is no respecter of persons. I'm glad of that. I'm glad to be in his service this morning. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul said. I'm glad to be serving him this morning. We see here that there is not only those that were sealed and those that will be preaching his word, but there is also going to be those that are called to prophesy. In Revelation in chapter 11, he says this, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn into blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt also, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Now, so we see here that not only will there be those who preach, there will be those who prophesy. There is these two witnesses that God calls to be there specifically for these first 3.5 years. And as they are there, they are prophesying, they are warning people about what's going to happen, what's going to come during that second 3.5 years. They're letting them know about what is the judgment that God's going to begin to pour out. They're talking about the bowls of wrath and the trumpets that will sound as God begins to pour out all of his own judgments upon the earth, the diseases, the sicknesses, the earthquakes, the plagues that will come upon them. And as they're there, they're causing the rain to cease. Just as Elijah did, they're breathing out fire to consume their enemies, much how Elijah was able to bring down fire from heaven. You know, many have said that these two witnesses could be Elijah and Moses, but I do not believe so. I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible says this. It says to be absent of the body is to be with the Lord, right? And this is the thing. I don't believe that the Lord's going to allow them to be in his presence and then to come back to this earth and to die and then to be resurrected. I believe, now I understand this, they do not know what happened to the body of Moses. We know that from the book of Jude, that whatever, you know, they said that they did not dispute with the devil about what happened to the body of Moses. And we also know this, that Elijah, he was taken up in a chariot of fire, come and carry him. We understand that. And we can see that. And we see that these two men are doing things that are like Elijah and Moses. But nevertheless, to go and to be with the Lord is to be with the Lord. Amen? You don't have to come back and suffer this earth again. And believe you me, the power was never Moses' power. The power to make the plagues, that never was in Moses. As a matter of fact, he said, let Aaron do it. If you look at it, a lot of times it was Aaron that was doing these things under Moses' command. Okay? And the same way with Elijah, it never was Elijah's power to begin with. The power was God's, and he'll give it to two men that will be here alive during that time. And get this. These two guys, you ever seen a man of God that can call, that can breathe fire? They could turn the water into blood. You ever seen a man of God that had so much God on him? Talk about having Holy Ghost power. You ever seen a man of God that had so much God on him that he could call down plagues and he could prophesy and say it's not going to rain in the span of this many months and there's no rain drops that comes down? And anybody, imagine the weapons of warfare and the armies that the world commands. Now during this time, this Antichrist will be in charge. Now, we know that he will make war and that he will overcome them. But for 3.5 years, they'll go, and their enemies will come and try to stop them, and they will breathe fire, and they will bring destruction upon them, and they'll be consumed, their enemies will. Now, have you ever seen a man of God that had that kind of power on him? I haven't.
No.
Right? But get this, and there again, these men will not be followers of God. Right now, if Jesus come back tomorrow, these men that's doing this, they're not following God today.
Right.
They might be in a jail cell somewhere.
Yeah.
They might be, I don't know where. But all I know is this, is that God's going to call them when the time comes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he's going to have a purpose for them. And he's going to bring them to where that they need to be. And they're going to come and they're going to prophesy. And they're going to tell the world. Now I want you to think about this just to get us in the mindset to say, you know, what we can see now, how this could happen more so than any other time in the world. The Bible says this in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 11, speaking of these two witnesses. In verse 9 of chapter 11, it says this, "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves." Now how does everybody get to see them?
Yeah.
In 3.5 days. In 3.5 days back then, guess what? When this was written, it was impossible for people from all corners of the earth to travel there in 3.5 days.
Right.
Amen.
But nowadays with TV and internet.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, we think most of us, TV's been around our whole lives.
Yeah.
TV's not even been around 100 years.
Right.
You know, not home television sets where people's got it in their homes and so on and so forth. I mean, we've had, you know, screens and projectors and things like that, but barely 100 years, right? So like in the span of history, it's like less than 1% of the time of history, right? Something like that. So we live in a day and time, you and I do, where that it's been made possible for all these things to be fulfilled.
Amen.
And we see that.
Yeah.
Now, going back to Revelation chapter 6. He says in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 6 and in verse 9, he says, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be healed, as they were, and should be fulfilled." And we know that these folks are not those that were slain before the tribulation. Because before the tribulation period, right, we've been, the rapture has taken place. We've escaped. We've had that hope of escape, that we've been called up together with the Lord before this tribulation period has started. And so now the tribulation period has started. And now he sees those souls of those who are under the altar. And it says they're souls. They don't have those bodies yet. They're souls that are under the altar. And they do not have that body rejoined to them yet, right? So after the rapture, the resurrection of the bodies of the dead, it also happened. You remember that? We read that in Corinthians in chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And so as we read that, how that it says the dead will rise first, right? And so we know that. And then those who are alive be called up together. And we see here that these are just souls. So we see that there will also be those who are redeemed who are going to be being healed. So not only is there going to be those 144,000 who God will protect and he'll shield and he'll hide them. And eventually they'll be killed. Many of them will be killed also. But there's also going to be others that are going to be slain for the testimony of the Lord. Now what about these? Who are these people? These are people who have not known Christ prior to the tribulation period. But during the tribulation period, they have come to know Christ, and because of that, they have not took of that mark, and so they have been hunted down, and they have been persecuted, and as many of them even killed. And they're crying out to the Lord, and they're begging the Lord to give them vengeance. That's what they're wanting. That's what they're desiring, is they're wanting vengeance upon them that hated God and that has hated them for their, because because they worship God. Now, in saying that, let me say this. And we went over this twice already before, but we'll go over it one more time. In 2 Thessalonians, in chapter number, let's read chapter number one. I'm going to read chapter number one real quick. It's 12 verses. I got time. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, grace unto you and peace from our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you, all toward each other, aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of God, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired of all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness and the work of his faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying there is simply this. He's saying that, listen, I know you're going through persecutions, but know this, that as you're going through, now this was during their time, he said, I know you're going through persecutions. I know you're going through tribulations. I know there are those that trouble you. But understand and know this, that God will trouble them. Amen. There is coming a day that God will trouble them. Is it wrong for a Christian to want vengeance upon the enemies of God? No, it is not. Right. Matter of fact, we see examples of men like David praying for it. Prayers of imprecation. I remember, I'll never forget as long as I live, Mike Bagwell preaching at camp meeting last year, talking about prayers of imprecation. And he's talking about basically crooked politicians in Washington. Yeah. And I'll never forget as long as I live, little Mike Bagwell over 110 pounds, and him preaching that, you know, reading that psalm. Yeah. And where David said, break out their teeth, oh God. Yeah. You know, Mike Bagwell, pump that fist, break out their teeth, oh God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get up there and get excited. And he said that every night for like four nights in a row. And it did, it got me pumped. And I was ready to pray. And I was like, Lord, to remove their power from them. And there's nothing wrong with that. In the same way, he's telling the church of Thessalonica here that there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with desiring that. And as a matter of fact, believe me, he said, God will punish them with everlasting destruction who troubled you, because they are his enemies, not because of just you, but because he has redeemed you for his purpose. And those that come against you and they come against God, God will deal with them. But he also goes on and he says that as you are able to suffer, he says to know this, that as you suffer, he says you're not doing it for your own sake. He says, but you're doing it to glorify God. Now he goes into chapter 2 and he says this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2.
Yeah.
He says, I beseech you, I beg of you by what? He says, I beg of you because I've done this for you and I've done that for you. Now will you do this for me? Yeah. That's not what he said.
No.
He said, look, I've helped you and I've took up an offering for you and I've tried. No. He says, forget all that. He says, it ain't about what I've done for you or what we've done or anything else. He said, it's about the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming back. He said, because the Lord Jesus is coming back. He said, I'm begging you to do this. He says, I beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together, by our gathering together. together unto him. He says, we ain't going to be much longer in this world. He believed that in that day, and oh, how much truer it is today than it was in that day, that we will not be here much longer. He says, I'm begging you, church, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him. He says, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that it might be revealed in his time. He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And we can see it certainly working today. It's becoming less and less of a mystery to you and I in the day and hour in which we're living. Understand this, that great men like Charles Spurgeon could not see the mystery of iniquity. It was not as revealed to those men as it has been to you and I as the ages has rolled on, and as the epicenter of everything that God has ever created that will culminate. And during the time of this tribulation approaches, we can see this mystery that was made unknown before. We can see it being made more and more clearly as the day approaches. And so we have even greater understanding now than we did then, because the Lord has opened our eyes, and because the world has gotten so wicked, and we can see the evidences. And he says this, he says in verse 8, when shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming? He says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness.
Yeah.
Now as we read this, we can understand this. That for those who have been in a place, in a time, where that they have heard the gospel, I want to give you this warning this morning. If you have heard the gospel and you have understood and known that Jesus died for your sins and you have not done anything about it to this point because of some sin in your life that you don't want to let go of, or because of something in your life you're not willing to just say, God, you're right and I'm wrong.
Yes.
Hey, I'll tell you, it don't feel good in this flesh to be wrong.
Yes.
I don't like being wrong. And that's my wife. She don't like being wrong either. I can testify to that. I'm sure you husbands and wives can all testify to that. Nobody likes to be wrong.
Amen.
But I want to say this, that whenever it's God's right and I'm wrong, hey, I want to tell you, that's the only way that I can ever get through this life and have the blood of Jesus covering my sins. Hey, there's a time whenever I was lost and I said, well, you know, I'll take salvation, but it'll come my way. And it'll only be the way I want it to be. And you can save me this way, God, but you ain't going to bother me here and you ain't going to bother me there. Hey, he said, I want it all. Amen.
Amen.
And because I had pleasure in unrighteousness, I did not want to admit my faults.
Yeah.
We all take pleasure in unrighteousness. Brother Nick mentioned this morning in the Sunday school room, he's talking about sometimes, you know, you see that little cartoon with that little devil and you got the little angel over here. They're trying to talk you into something, you know. I said, you know, we spiritualize that little devil a little bit too much.
Yeah.
You don't need no little devil. It's flesh to talk you into doing all the wickedness you need to do.
Right. Yeah.
And we under-spiritualize this over here.
Yeah.
As if we got the goodness in us to have that.
Right.
That's something outside of us. That's the Holy Ghost of God. If there's anything contrary to this over here, it's the Holy Ghost of God.
Yeah.
And the only way we can get that and follow that is to have a transformation take place.
Amen.
To be born again.
Yes, sir.
into the family of God. To be born naturally is to be born in sin.
Yes.
To be born in corruption. To be born again is to be born supernaturally. It's to be born without corruption. Amen. Justified in the eyes of God. Yeah. And you say, well, preacher, you don't sin anymore. You're sure I do. Sure that old flesh still rears its ugly head. Yeah. Causes me to say and think and do all kinds of things that I regret. But by the grace of God, He saved me. And whenever He looks at me, He don't see my wretched sin. He sees the precious blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. He sees a cloak of white, yes, the righteousness that covers me completely.
Amen.
And it will forevermore.
Yes, sir.
But we see here that there will be those during that time, they will die. They will die, they will pay with eternity in hellfire. The Bible says, because God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He says that during this time, whenever this the church is taken out, He said, not only is that seal of security going to be made sure during that day, because we doubt, right? We struggle with doubt and fear and everything else. But I'm going to tell you, Christian brother and sister, during that day, we see the world getting worse and worse and worse one day. And I'm going to tell you, He's going to step out on the clouds, and there's going to be a trumpet that sounds. And praise God, I'm going up. If you know Him, you're going up. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, those that's in the ground that knew Jesus, they're going up. And we're going to meet them there in the air. And that which was before somewhat a mystery and somewhat something that we could now, it's going to be made sure. Amen.
Yeah.
And everyone that's come and that's sat on the church pew, everyone that's heard the gospel preached. And I don't know, I heard the gospel preached my whole life. I did. And I never really, it never really sank in. It never did. But I want to say this, that if it sank in, whenever it did sink in, God saved me. Amen.
Yeah.
I thank God for that. I heard it, but it never convicted my heart. God never, the Bible says, Jesus said, no man come to me except the Father. Draw him.
Yeah,
that means God's got a time and place in your life where He will begin to work on you as an individual.
Yeah.
And you're going to know it. It ain't going to be no birds chirping, none of that sound. You just going to know you're a sinner. You're going to know what you need to do about it. Let me tell you something. That pride don't want you to.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the devil don't want you to. The world don't want you to. The world wants you to stay right where you're at and how you are. And it keeps going in that same path that you're headed down. But God's got something better for you. But I want to say this, that during that time, if you've heard the gospel and God's dealt with your heart, and if the church goes and you're left, I'm going to tell you, whether you want to or not, you will believe the lie.
Yeah.
Why is it? It's not because you say, well, that old spook talking devil, he's a liar, and the father of it, sure he is, and he's going to be the one telling the lies. But I want to say this, by the power of God, you'll believe it.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It says He will send the delusion. So we understand that the redeemed that are there during the tribulation are not going to be those that have heard the gospel. It's not going to be those who have been convicted. It's not going to be those who you've seen held onto them church pews with wide knuckle grips. It's not going to be those who have heard and said, well, you know, I think I'll do it next Sunday, or I'll do it another time, or maybe I'll try to get this straightened out or that straightened out before I turn my life over to God.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you this, that you can do it now. You have a moment, the Bible says that now is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
You have a moment right now to make it right with Him. Now going back to Revelation, we see here that there will be those that will believe a lie because God will send them a delusion. And we see that, we understand that. But I want to say this, praise God, I've got hope. I've got lost family, I've got lost friends, I've got lost loved ones. Like I said, just like in two witnesses, just like those 144,000 that'll preach, there's two that'll prophesy, there's 144,000 that'll preach. Just like them, there's going to be many others that are also going to worship. Now notice this, I don't know about the two witnesses, but the 144,000, they are Jews.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible says, they are Jews, okay?
Yeah.
We understand that.
Yeah.
But now, read on with me on this. It says this in chapter 7 of Revelation. He says in verse 9, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. And they said, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And one of the elders answered and said unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and is serving day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Says they'll hunger no more, they'll thirst no more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Amen.
I would say God's got a special plan for those that will be part of that tribulation period. I would say this, they still hope that I have, that if even no matter what, if the Lord comes, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. I hope that it would come in sooner than later. And if he does, I've got many folks, I'm sure, in my life that is lost. And that my prayer is this, that God in his sovereignty understands and knows that the only way that he's going to be able to reach them is for that tribulation period to start. So we see that it's not only Jews that will be saved,
right,
but that there is those who is of all tongues and nations and kindred, yeah, is what the Bible says. And he said that, who are they? He said, they are those who come out of great tribulation, meaning that they were killed throughout that tribulation,
yeah,
period. They were slain. They were martyred. Many of them starved to death. Can you imagine living in such a time where that someone would say to you, you're not allowed to buy, sell, or trade except you have that mark. Hey, I want to tell you, people, they go and they stack up and they hoard up all kinds of food and they make bomb shelters and they're saving their silver and their gold and they're saving, you know, well, a currency won't mean nothing. I want to say this, if you ain't got the mark, you ain't going to get nothing.
Right.
They'll take all that from you. They'll run you out of the holes. The Bible says that men will try to hide in the cliffs of the rocks and the holes in the ground. And then they'll be run out of there. And these people will take those things. And they'll not be allowed to have any of them things. But I want to say that, praise God, there's going to be some during that day that God has had mercy on that will not take that mark.
Amen.
You say, well, I wouldn't take that mark. Well, I wouldn't either if I was there. Like old Curtis Carey used to tell me, he used to say, we'd be leaving on Sunday morning, he'd say, well, he'd say, Lord, we will see you back tonight, unless the Lord comes. If he does, you can preach service for us. No aggravating. Well, we say that, we think, well, you know, if I was there, I wouldn't, because I'd know better, you know. I remember thinking that when I was lost.
Yeah.
What about if you got family and kids to feed?
Yeah.
And what if your wife and these youngins is looking at you and they're saying, Daddy, why can't we go and do this? Why are you being so stubborn? And your wife gets so sick and tired of it, she says, I'm not dealing with this. I'm taking it. We got to eat. We're going to die. I mean, that's what we're going to be looking at. That's what people's going to be looking at. There's going to be people that's going to forsake their wives and children, vice versa, because they will not take that mark. Because they'd rather go with Jesus than anything else. I'm telling you, it's shut down. That's where I need to be. That's where we all need to be right now.
Amen.
And we'd rather go with Jesus than anything in this world. And I'm going to tell you this. He said this. He said that if you go with him, everything else will follow into place.
Amen.
But it's only going to be by fully submitting and surrendering to him and to his will. There is a redeem that is going to be there in the tribulation period. But oh, how sweet it'd be to be spared from that.
Yeah.
Amen.
To escape that. In the book of Luke, in chapter 22, I seen this morning, Lynn, when he was reading it, and I had to borrow Lynn's pen. I said, how about that? I'm sorry, 21. Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Jesus shoot all trees. When they now shoot forth, and ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand, so likewise, even when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. We've seen a lot of things come to pass.
Yeah.
He says, as verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all be fulfilled. We read this same scripture in the time that Jesus spake this earlier, a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 24.
Yeah.
He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Yeah.
And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Amen.
That escape he's speaking of is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
And the only way to be accounted worthy is to already have had that precious vesture.
Yeah.
That has been dipped in the blood of the Lamb and made as white as snow.
Amen.
My sin and your sin is nothing but spots and stains. You ever had a nice garment, a piece of clothing you loved, and it gets a stain on it, and you just can't get it out, and it just irritates the devil out of you?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what. Without that righteous covering, you are walking around so stained and so dirty and so filthy that spiritually, you would look so much worse than the worst vagrant you've ever seen.
Yeah.
They ain't had a bath in 2 years. It's out on the street. It's just dirty. It's just living like that. Hell, I'll tell you, you see how those people look. That's how you look. That's how I look spiritually.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, that I am clean. I am whole. I am white. I am clothed in something that has no spot, that has no stain, because the Lord Jesus Christ paid that price for me. And he's
right.
Paid it for you.
Amen.
And one day he's coming back, and I'm going with him.
Right.
I will escape all these things. I'll not have to be there for them things. And guess what? He's got a special role for me too.
Yeah.
That I'm going to go up there and I'm going to join in that marriage supper.
Yeah.
During this time, while everybody else is going to be going on down here and all the killing and everything else, I'm going to be having dinner with my Lord. I'm going to be enjoying being in His presence. I'm going to be there with Him. And then whenever that's over with, I'm coming back and I'm going to rule and reign with Him. Not because I'm fit for the job, but because He loved me. He died for me. He made me His own.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, that if you'll put your trust in Him, you can have that too. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You can be made whole. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Miss Sherry, if you would, come play on the piano for us just a second. I want to ask you this morning, are you prepared? Are you going to be counted worthy to escape those judgments that have come upon this earth when that time comes? Has the Lord Jesus spoke to your heart? Has God drawn you and said, come? I beg you, I plead with you. I want you to know I prayed for you this week. I don't even know who you are. I couldn't look around and tell anybody here. I don't know. The Lord knows. That's between you and Him. But I want to say this. I know God gives me a message. I know that He's got a purpose in it.
Yes.
I pray this week that God just humble your heart. And the things that you went through this week, the thoughts that you had, was by coincidence, that was God loving you, bringing you to a place where that this very morning He can speak to your heart and reveal to you your condition. If you could let go of that pride, you could let go of that attachment to this world, just give it all to Him, I think that you'd find that your new life would be so much better than your old one. You can't even begin to realize, stuck in that old way, what God's got in store for you. Except you give it to Him. put Jesus to crucifixion again. But yet your burden was something you feel the need to do this, or I'll give you an opportunity. As God spoke to your heart this morning in a certain way, there's something that you want to pray about. This altar, go. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. Pray, God, that you continue to, Lord, bless it. Take what we've heard here this morning, God, hide it in our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, to just glean from it, to trust you, to love you. Lord, help us, Lord, this morning to follow you. Lord, I pray, God, that you would watch over each and every one that's here this morning, God. Lord, that you'd give them help, Lord, and comfort, Lord, in their times of need, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd continue, Lord, to grow us together. Lord, to look to you for wisdom, Lord, for understanding, for patience. God, that in this world we know that we'll face trials. Lord, let us be reminded, God, that you have made a place for us where that'll be no more. God, everything will be perfect according to your command and your will and your own nature. It'll be perfect there. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together with unity, to worship together, and to help and to support one another, and to love and to pray for one another. I pray, God, that you'd help us to continue to do that. Be with each and every one that's here today. If there's any that's lost, I pray, God, you'd have mercy on them. Let them not be able to have rest, Lord, to their feet and to their mind, God, until they make it right with you, that you might be glorified doing the holy work that you do, God. I thank you, Lord, for loving us and saving those that are lost, saving me and my soul, Lord. Lord, redeeming me, and Lord, then even working in my life and continuing to help me and grow me. Have mercy on me and forgive me. So much, so often. Help me be merciful to others and to be thankful always for your goodness. Lord, it's in Jesus' name alone I beg, Lord, hear this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Is all hearts and minds clear? Brother Dalton, would you just miss a word of prayer?
Amen.